Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians. This morning we want to consider together the blessing of Christmas. And ready or not, the Christmas season is upon us, and so this morning we want to consider together the blessing of Christmas. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. Let's hear God's word. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we thank you. We bless you. We can gather together a beautiful Lord's Day morning to worship you and to sing praise, to celebrate your grace and goodness to us. We ask now, Lord, for your favor, the kindness of your Spirit, that you might favor us with your blessing, that you might truly minister to us, enable us to hear the very things we need to hear, help us to receive them by faith, help us to treasure them in our hearts and to take hold of them. Help us, Lord, by means of your Spirit and your Word, to become more and more and more like Jesus. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. As a kid, I used to love the old Christmas specials on television. Charlie Brown Christmas, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know, some are probably better than others, but as a kid, I think I liked all of them. And it seems like they come out with new ones every year, a new Christmas movie or new special on television. And they always seem to be about the real meaning of Christmas. You know, the theme is always the true message of Christmas. But every year they say something different. You know, one special will say the real meaning of Christmas is giving. And the next one will say, well, the real meaning of Christmas is family. Another will say, well, the real meaning of Christmas is love or something else. And it's interesting. They always say something different. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and talk about the true blessing of Christmas. But I want to begin by looking at the bad news, and then we'll look together at the good news. If you remember, the book of Galatians is all about the good news of Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin by looking at the bad news, and then we'll look at the good news as we consider together the true blessing of Christmas. First, the bad news. We are cursed when we rely on our own good deeds. Now look with me at our text this morning, beginning with verse 10. Paul says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Okay? Works of the law are things that God's law tells us we have to do. You know, honor your mother and father. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The works of the law are things in life that God commands us to do. And those things are very important. There's all kinds of things in life we have to do. You get up in the morning and there's lots of things God commands you to do. You gotta work. You gotta take care of your family. You gotta provide for one another. You gotta love one another. There's all sorts of things in life that we are called to do. And those deeds are important. Okay? The way we treat each other is important. The way we live our lives is important. And yet, Paul says, your good deeds cannot be the basis for your relationship with God. Suppose that something were to happen to you this evening. Even on the way home from worship, you're in a car accident, and you lose your life. You're killed. God says to you, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say? What's the basis for your relationship with God? On what basis should you go into heaven? Well, most people would say, I've tried to be a good person. God knows my heart. I mean well. I do my best. I may not be perfect, but I like to think the good things I do outweigh the bad. Most people depend on their good works. Again, the way you live is very important. The way you raise your children is important. Your honesty is important. Your hard work is important. Your morality is important. And yet Paul says those deeds must not be the basis for your relationship with God. He says if how you're doing, if how well you're living your life is the basis of your life, if that's the foundation, if that's where you get your identity, if that's where you get your, you hope to get your salvation, if that's the basis of your relationship with God, Paul says you're actually in trouble. He says all who rely on works of the law, everybody who's depending on how well they're keeping God's law, are under a curse. That's interesting because we saw last week, Paul told the Jerusalem Christians they were acting foolishly as if they've been bewitched, as if they've fallen under a spell because they've taken their eyes off of Jesus and they've begun to focus on themselves. And Paul says that when you take your eyes off of Jesus and begin to focus on yourself and all the things you have to do, you're acting foolishly. It's as if you've fallen under a spell. It's as if you've completely forgotten about Jesus. But now, Paul says, not just the danger of falling under a spell. If you're basing your life on your good deeds, he says, you're actually under a curse. Now, when Paul talks about falling under a spell, I think he's just using that, you know, metaphorically. But when he's talking about being under a curse, he's not talking about, he's not using imagery from fables and folklore here because he quotes from the Bible. He says, it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Okay? You understand how the law works in our country. Okay? If you break a law, you're guilty. If you break a law, you should be punished. Well, God's word contains God's law. And according to God's word, if you break any of God's law, you're guilty and you're cursed. Okay? Sinful man lives under God's curse because of our failure to obey God's law. Now, you can understand this in at least a couple of different ways. First of all, man is cursed, you might say, legally. Okay? Paul is talking about God's law, and so he's using legal terms. And he says there's a sense in which we're cursed legally. That is, before the court of God, as God is our judge, we are condemned. Verse 11, it is evident no one is justified before God by the law. That word justified is a legal term. It's taken from the Roman courts. If you were accused of a crime, you'd go before the judge and he would declare you guilty or righteous. Guilty or justified. And now Paul says it's obvious that if you go before God, if God is your judge and you go before the heavenly courtroom and you're putting your hope in how well you've lived your life, Paul says it's obvious you're not going to be declared righteous based on your life because we've all broken God's law. We all break God's law at different times and different ways. And so Paul says it's obvious you're not going to be declared righteous based on your works. No one is justified by their works. And so you could say we're under God's curse in the sense that we are condemned by our failure to obey God's law. Sinful man lives under God's curse because of our failure to obey God's law. A lot of people feel good about themselves. I'm a good person, you know, they'll say. But when you go into a courtroom, the real issue isn't how you feel. But what does the judge say? You might feel you're very good, but if the judge says you're guilty, that's really what matters. God is our judge, And he has said in his word that if you have broken his law at any point, you're guilty and you're cursed. So there's a, you might say, a legal sense. Okay, it's a fact, whether you feel it or not, that if we're depending on our works, based on our works, we are cursed. That is, we are guilty before God. But there's also a sense in which this is true, you might say, emotionally. Okay, keep in mind, Paul is writing to Jewish Christians. And he knows they're not cursed because they're not basing their life on their works. Okay, they're believers. They're Christians. They're trusting in Jesus Christ. They're not trusting in their works. They're trusting in his works. And so Paul knows the people he's writing to are not cursed. They're not condemned. They're not building their life on their works. They're trusting in Jesus Christ. But they've temporarily taken their eyes off of Jesus. And they're living as if their life is based on their works. And that's a cursed way to live. Emotionally destructive way to live. Because if your life is based on how you're doing, then it means God is like a distant judge who is waiting to see how you do. If your relationship with God is based on how well you're doing, then God is only at a distance watching and waiting. And maybe he's pleased with you one day, and maybe he's unhappy another day, but his final verdict is yet to come in. So you really don't know how you stand. And if you're doing well one day, you feel very good about yourself. And if you don't do well one day, you feel guilty and insecure. If you're living as if your life is based on your deeds, then you're up and down, and up and down. And we all know Christians, let alone non-Christians, but we all know Christians who live their lives that way. They may in one sense be trusting in Jesus, but they take their eyes off of Jesus. They're focusing on themselves, and as a result, they're up and down and up and down because that's just it's a cursed way to live. Emotional instability, never really knowing where you stand with God, never really knowing how to feel about yourself. Think about this. If your relationship with God depends on how well you're doing, then you have no access to God's help when you fail. Okay? You will sin sometimes. We all do. We all fall short in many ways. We all disobey God. We all break God's commandment. Now, if my relationship with God depends on me obeying, then what happens when I disobey? Now I don't have a relationship with God, and now I don't have access to God's help when I need it most. There will be times when you are overtaken by sinful desire. There'll be times when you are so angry that you just cannot forgive somebody. There'll be times when you're caught up in bitterness. There'll be times when you are wrapped up in self-pity. There'll be times when you're just worried to be sick, or you're freaking out, you're so panicked and anxious. There'll be times when you're falling into sin. And if your relationship with God is based on the fact that you're doing everything right, then when you're falling into that sin, you don't have access to God's help when you need it most. It's a horrible, cursed way to live. That's the bad news. We're cursed when we rely on our good deeds. But the good news is we are blessed when we receive God's Spirit through faith. Paul says it's evident no one is justified before God by the law. Okay? You can't get to heaven based on your good deeds. But then he says, for the righteous shall live by faith. Remember, he's writing to Jewish Christians, and so to make his case, he's arguing from Jewish scriptures. And he says, it's obvious that you don't get to heaven based on your good works, because the Bible itself tells us the righteous live by faith. And works and faith are different. You can't get to heaven based on your good deeds. Faith is the means by which we live the Christian life. Paul says, the law is not a faith. Okay? God's law is important. Among other things, it tells us how to live. It tells us what we need to do. What you do in life is important. What you believe is also important. How you live your life is important. What you trust in is also important. But only one can be the basis of your life. Only one can be the foundation. Only one can be the source of your identity and your strength and your salvation. Paul says you can't be saved by your works because the righteous live by faith. To put it another way, we're cursed when we trust in what we have done. We are blessed when we trust in what Christ has done. We're cursed when we trust in what we have done. We're blessed when we trust in what Christ has done. On the cross, Christ took the curse that we deserve so that we might be blessed. Verse 13, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is what you celebrate. As a Christian, if you're celebrating Christmas, you're celebrating the fact that God has come. We don't just celebrate that Jesus was born, but we celebrate the fact that Jesus is God. He is the Lord. He is the second person of the Trinity, and he has come in the flesh, in the person, in the form of a baby boy, and he's come to save us. Okay? We celebrate the fact that Christ has come into the world and gone to the cross to take the curse for us. To bear the curse that we deserve, to be cursed in our place, so that we might be blessed. And again, Paul explains that by going back to the law. He says, it is written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Okay? In the Old Testament scriptures, for the Jewish people, it was very important to receive a proper burial. A proper burial was a sign of God's blessing. You'll often read in Kings and Chronicles, a godly king would die and it would say he went to rest with his fathers. That was a sign of God's blessing on his life. When God's people mourn your death and honor your life and give you a proper burial and treat your body with respect, that was considered a sign of God's blessing. His favor upon your life. But if a person didn't receive a proper burial, if the person wasn't even missed, if no one even noticed they were gone, or worse yet, if people were glad you were gone, and they didn't even bother to bury you, but they just left your body lying there on the ground, open to the elements, or even worse, hung you up in a tree for everybody to see and gawk at and for the birds to light on, that was considered horrible. That was considered a sign of God's curse. Remember, Jezebel was a wicked pagan queen who ruled over God's people, and she died when she was pushed out of an upstairs window. She fell and she lay in the streets, and everybody left her there. They were glad she was gone, and her body was just left there in the streets, and it was a horrible sight. We're told that wild dogs came and pulled on her body, and it was horrible. It was a sign of God's condemnation, God's curse. Think about Haman. Haman was the wicked man in the time of Persia who wanted to get rid of the Jewish people, and particularly wanted to get rid of Mordecai. And so he built a scaffolding to have Mordecai hung. His plans were found out, and Haman himself ended up being hung. And it was a sign of God's condemnation and God's curse upon Haman that there he hung as a wicked man who hated God's people. To be given a proper burial by God's people was a sign of God's blessing. But to be lifted up, to be gawked at, to be hung up there like that was a sign of God's curse. Now, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse that we deserve. He saved us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That when Jesus was lifted up on that cross, when he was mocked by the Roman soldiers, the curse of God the Father fell on Jesus. That Jesus experienced God's wrath and condemnation. Jesus was cursed for us. Jesus took the curse. He took the punishment. He took the judgment that we deserve. Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come. Okay. Jesus took the curse that we deserve so we might receive his blessing. Okay, we've seen over the last few weeks that when you trust in Jesus Christ, you stop trusting in your own works and you trust in his good works, there's an exchange. Jesus takes the curse, the punishment for your bad works, and we receive the blessing and favor for Christ's good works. Jesus was cursed upon the cross so that you and I might be blessed. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. As a result of what Christ has done for us, we receive God's blessing. In particular, Paul says, this is that blessing that God promised Abraham thousands and thousands of years ago. You remember, thousands of years ago, God said to Abraham, Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world shall be blessed. And so, of course, for thousands of years, for centuries, God's people waited for the fulfillment of God's promise that this wonderful blessing would come. But God promised the blessing would not just be for Jewish people, but for all the nations of the world, for all the families, for all the tribes, for all the races. And Paul says now that long-awaited promise has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That Jesus came and he became a curse for us. He took our curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come to us. Well, now, what is that blessing? We've seen over the last few weeks that Jesus died on the cross. He took the penalty for our pride and our guilt so that God's blessing and peace might come to you for free. God's blessing and peace come to you for free in Jesus Christ. But what is that blessing? What is the blessing that God first promised through Abraham? What's the blessing that God's people have been waiting for centuries and centuries and finally has come? Paul tells us in our passage, verse 14, that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. This is that long-awaited blessing that has finally come. This is what I would argue you might call the true blessing of Christmas. If you're going to celebrate Christmas, if you're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we don't simply celebrate the fact that he has come, but we celebrate the fact that he is God and he has come in the flesh so that he might take the curse for us, so that we might be blessed by the free gift of God's Spirit. The great blessing of God is that he is not just a distant judge watching and waiting to see how you do. But God has come to you. And if you are trusting in Christ, he has committed himself to you. If you're trusting in Christ, God has committed himself to you by coming to you in the person of his Spirit. It's not just that Jesus has come into the world, but because he took our curse on the cross, he comes to you by his Spirit. And if you trust in Jesus Christ, God's Spirit lives in you. Can you imagine explaining that to Abraham? Could Abraham have ever comprehended what God was saying, that one day God himself would come and live in the hearts of people all over the world? This is the great blessing that God promised Abraham, that God would not only come in the flesh, but that God would come into your flesh. That when you trust in Jesus, God himself comes to live in you. He commits himself to you. You are united to him by faith. So that he is with you. And he is with you when you are doing well. He is with you when you've got your eyes on Jesus. He is with you when you are fulfilling God's law, when you're growing, when you're making progress. He is with you when you're loving Him. He is with you when you're loving your neighbor. But He is also with you when you fail. He is with you when you sin. He is with you when you disobey. He's not at a distance, just watching to condemn you, but He is with you to convict you, to give you the gift of repentance, to give you a hatred for your sin so that you hate it and you turn away from it. God is there with you in your heart to get you back up again and to restore your faith, to get you back on your feet. God is there with you to work with you, to grow you, to change you, to make you more and more like Jesus. See, this is the blessing that God first gave Abraham that Abraham could not possibly have anticipated or comprehended. That not only would God come into the world in the flesh, but that by faith God comes to live within you. He commits Himself to you. He's with you. When you struggle, when you fail, when you are perplexed, when you are overwhelmed, God is there to help, to comfort, to teach, to convict, to instruct, to change, to renew, to get you back on your feet, to get your eyes back on Jesus, and to get you going in the right direction. This, I would argue, is the great blessing that we need to celebrate, is that God has come. And He's not only come into the world, but He has come to you. When you trust in Jesus and what He's done, when you trust in His good works, God comes to you, into your life, into your heart to be with you, and He commits to be with you forever, to grow you, to change you, and make you more and more like Jesus. That is God's blessing. The greatest blessing that God can give you is Himself, His own Spirit, to be with you, to enjoy you, to spread His love on you, to fellowship with you, to minister to you, to grow you. That's the blessing, I would argue, the true blessing of Christmas. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You. You have come in the person of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that Jesus did not shrink back from the hard calling, but He came willingly to take upon Himself the awful curse that we deserve. And Father, we thank You for the free gift of Your Spirit, by whom You stoop to come into our lives, by whom You come into us and You renew us. You give us the gift of faith. You transform us. You convict us. You comfort us. You help us. You love us. You embrace us and You change us. Lord, we bless You. That of all the greatest gift is You. And we thank You for the gift of Your Spirit. Lord, may we celebrate Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace. May we keep our eyes on Jesus. We ask this, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.